took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. I am Pastor Dave, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Oh, man, this is great. This is great. We're so glad to be with you tonight. I hope you're glad to be with us. I guess if you're not, you'll probably change the channel. I don't know.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, oh, it's them
those
again.
Two again.
They always leave me more questions than answers. I don't know what to do. Well, that's we're the same in the same shape, folks. So Tonight our theme is this: are you praying for revival? You know, it's a good question to ask, and we are in revival in America. But it's funny because I talk to people, you know, I haven't seen them in a while or whatever, and I mention that and they say, what? What do you mean we're in revival?
Was that on the news? I didn't hear it.
Well, if you're watching CNN, MSNBC, or CBS, NBC, or those,
you're not going to hear it.
Nope.
No.
Other news sites, well, Christian news sites, of course, will be talking about the Asbury revival in February and all that's gone from that. Mm-hmm. There's revival now. It's outside of the faith-based schools. It's really into some of the secular colleges and it's now moving into all demographics. So it's there. It hasn't reached a fever peak like the Jesus Revolution in the late 60s and early 70s.
True.
And that movie, if you saw it, if you haven't seen it, The Jesus Revolution, I think it's live streaming on some of the platforms like Netflix and
it was in the theater for a while.
It was in the theater for a
couple
while.
Of weeks. Yeah.
In fact, it made some records.
Yeah.
You know, so it was the first, I believe it was the first crowd-funded movie. A very different paradigm for, you know, films.
Mm-hmm.
It broke. I mean, they made the movie for like $5 million. And I think at the last count, it earned about $60 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a huge amount of money when you think of, you know, $300 or $400 million.
But it's a faith-based movie.
It's a faith-based movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well-received by critics. Not that I listen to a lot of critics. And God was blessing that movie. A lot of powerful things happened on the sets, and we won't go into that too much. But to say that God is into revival, you know, and just as a thumbnail sketch, really for America, why we're praying for revival is because God wants to save America. If you don't think it needs saving, folks. All right, first of all, get out of that world, a Cold War bomb shelter you're living in, you know, and pay attention because the enemy is moving seemingly unimpeded in the face of America and the political life of America and the cultural life of America. And this is not a nation that is going to be God-honoring, nor is it a nation that right now today can live into the covenant, that call that God has put on us when our nation was founded 400 years ago.
Right.
When the pilgrims who survived that horrible winter gave thanks to God for his provision and was led by the Spirit to make a covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
That this nation would be a city on a hill, you know, would shine in the light of Christ and would send the gospel over to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And although we've done that throughout our history, that covenant is really coming online today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in the outskirts of the end times, and Jesus will be coming back, and America needs to address the covenant. So God is moving. He's heard the repentance of a faithful remnant.
It's not on the news, but, you know, if you open up your heart and your mind and your ears, you're going to start hearing things, and they're usually in the most unexpected places.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people speaking of Christ in a gas station.
Yes. Yeah.
In grocery stores. At work. I work with healthcare professionals. I'll hear praying in the nursing lounge. There's a prayer group that started before I even got there at the time clock. Nurses coming in, nurses coming out. And they hold hands and pray together.
Mm. Hmm. Wow.
Now, that's not going to make it on the national news.
Of course it won't.
But that's how this works. One, two, three at a time, four at a time. That's how this whole thing started.
It's an incremental growth in the spirit that one day you will not be able to avoid hearing about revival, but it's growing. So it's happening. But we need to pray. God wants us to pray. There's a reading you're going to read from Proverbs 15, verse 29.
And it's not a long reading, so I won't have to take a break or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous.
Now listen to that. This is the word of God. God hears the prayer of the righteous. And those of us who are believers, we stand in the Christ's righteousness, because that's the only righteousness that's durable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the righteousness that saves us. But so we're called to pray, the church. And I think the other side of this is, why are you not, if you're not praying for revival, why not?
You can't sit around on your saved self in a chair and say, I hope someday we have revival. Wouldn't it be nice if we had revival? You go to the Lord God Almighty and say, Lord, I want revival.
You know what?
You got to have that conversation.
He wants it too.
Yeah.
We're praying, you know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's his will for revival.
Right.
And it's clear in Scripture, and it's in the witness of the church today, right? Those righteous who are praying and are recognizing the movement of the Spirit and seeing revival and knowing what it means to save this. Well, it's first of all to save America. So we can be that nation who fulfills the covenant with God, honors the covenant by being the nation that does send the gospel. I'm not talking about, you know, throwing a few bucks at a missionary board. Yes, there'll be involved missionary boards and all that, but I'm talking about a massive outflow of the gospel of Jesus Christ through whatever means are available, by sending people, yes, but also, hey, we're connected with satellites. You know, I can talk to someone in Namibia and share the gospel with them.
Right.
That's part of it. It's a whole package. But in order for us to be able to do that, and let me, as an aside, say, if you have any interest in being an American, if you still have a sense of passion and if you are patriotic and you love this country, and part of that loving the country is because what God did to make it, back when founding fathers was led by the Spirit to write all these great documents. If you don't know what they are, because people in the last 20 years haven't taken civics classes. Well, it's the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, which includes the first 10 amendments, which are called the Bill of Rights.
That's right.
And then all the other amendments, which also expand and clarify our Bill of Rights, the rights that we have. And this is God-inspired documents, so that this nation would have the underpinnings, even in its founding documents, to be the kind of nation that would make a covenant and keep a covenant with God. We walked away like the Jews did.
Yeah, this is nothing new in the history of mankind, in relationship with God. How many times did the Israelites walk away, turn away, worship false gods?
Yep, and they're all demonic. The false gods are all really the emissaries of Satan in disguise.
And we got them here in this country
right now. That's a whole other thing. The book Jonathan Cahn just wrote, just been put out, The Return of the Gods.
Great book.
If you haven't read it, now it might scare you. We had a friend in our church say that she had nightmares getting into it, but you get past that, it absolutely will tell you exactly why this nation is wonky right now.
You got to know your enemy.
But because of that, if you become aware of that and you don't invest time praying for revival, you see, because that's what's going to push the devil out of positions of leadership, people who are working for him, who are in positions of leadership in our country at all levels, is that God wants to move. But, you know, again, free will, that free will thing, you know, if we use our free will to pray against that, it's spiritual warfare. That's what the Bible tells us. We're not fighting against blood and flesh and blood, was principalities and powers. And those, that phrase harkens back to the spiritual realm and the enemy coming against the people of God.
Same war, same characters.
That's right. And your prayers mean something.
Yes, they do.
Now, you might think, well, I pray and pray and nothing happens. You know, well, okay, look, I'm not going to attend your pity party, right? Because God answers prayer in his time.
That's true. And even a no is an answer, but
yeah.
Still. The armchair, spiritual armchair quarterbacks, they say, oh, well, you know, look what's going on right now. Satan's just having his day. He's having his time. And, you know, we all know he's defeated foe, and we hear this coming. And it's true.
He's defeated.
However, you just excluded yourself from the fight. He's having his time, but what have you done about it? What have you done about it?
There's stories from World War II where after the war was declared was over, there were still enemy didn't get the word.
That's true.
And so there was still fighting going on to quell, you know, that activity. So the devil is a liar, right?
Absolutely.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's such a good liar, he's even convinced himself that he can win. And he's convinced himself that he can be more powerful than God. Fortunately, that's not true. But unfortunately, some people have been convinced by the devil because of his lies that he can be more powerful, or at least he can give God a run for his money. None of that is true.
It amazes me how people glom onto that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where you see young people with tattoos praising Satan. You see folks out there getting together for their Satan worshiping parties. Mm. Or this was a biggie, David. It's a few years back, but young people were getting themselves de-baptized.
Oh yeah.
They were convinced that you could be de-baptized. I find that, well, it's not funny because it's so dangerous to have that thought process, but the fact that they put God as this little tiny box on a shelf, and they you know, you said this one time, Satan's not that big.
No. Yeah, I heard that from somebody else, but it made sense.
It does make sense.
If we let him be big.
That's right.
You know, but he's still tiny compared to God.
Yeah.
You know, and his days are numbered.
That's why he's operating with a sense of urgency and tearing things apart as quickly as he can, bring as many people down with him.
And if he's allowed to come in, and he has been in America mm-hmm. to a high degree. And again, some people will say, what do you mean? You know, I don't see that. Well, if you look at all the abortion, how many babies have been killed? I mean, over 60 million babies have been legally killed.
Yeah.
Killed. I mean, we're talking about murdered, not, you know, killed, not in self-defense. You know, oh, that baby's going to kill me if I don't... No, it's...
Little humans with souls.
With souls. And because the evil demonic forces, that's what they come, the steal, kill, and destroy. That's mm-hmm. what the enemy does. Well, it's going to impact every state of our lives. And every time that Israel turned their backs on God, you begin to see the killing their babies.
Right.
That sexual dysphoria. You know,
even
there
back
were
then.
Demonic forces.
Oh, yeah.
And they had certain god names, which you can read in Jonathan Cahn's book, that were believed to be able to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man.
Sound familiar?
Does that sound familiar? You know, and it's nothing new mm-hmm. when a culture has turned its back on God, and they're going to worship something. And it's not the first generation, but it's generations that follow. We had several generations since we turned our back on God, and in many places the church has joined in that, in hiding out in their brick and mortar and waiting for all this to be over, but not going out
That's
and
well
bringing
said.
Jesus into the culture. Because what does Jesus want to do? He wants to change the culture, but the church has to be out there preaching the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, witnessing mm-hmm. in whatever way God gives you to do that. Well, you know, but here's the thing. Here's hope. The hope is that because God's people are praying, that God is moving, he's hearing the prayers of his people, changes are happening. Maybe you haven't noticed it in your town or your neighborhood, but is changing. But that doesn't mean you can sit back and say, oh, well, other Christians are praying. I'll just sit here and watch, you know, eat bonbons and watch the Today Show. Or
yeah, tonight. It's taken care of. Everything's taken
right,
care
no,
of.
Right, no, God still wants us to pray.
Mm.
You know, there's something in Scripture. Scripture is full of what I'm about to say to you. Now, you want to test me on this? Well, go read it. You know, read your Bible. It's clear God is always calling his people to pray because he wants us to, I love this phrase, to put our fingerprints on his will. He wants us to participate. You know, it's God doing it. We give him the glory. But he wants his people to join him.
Right.
To
right.
say, you know, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe your will is perfect and it's right.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to do that. All of us.
I have a quick little story. There was a fella in one of my nursing homes who was anti-God.
Mm.
He was very difficult to handle because I work for a company that encourages Bible study, encourages prayer, encourages worship. And he was in a wheelchair, a very loud man, very loud, booming voice.
Mm.
And he would haunt the halls as we were setting up church service. And then he would disrupt it.
Mm.
He called us all kinds of names that we weren't all that bright and we're wasting our time and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And had nicknames for all the believers and none of them were nice.
Mm. Wow.
And there was one little activity girl who is preaching Christ 24/7. I think she does it in her sleep. And she never gave up on him. She forgave him for all the names he called her. And she'd just go right in there every day in his room and do battle again. Mm-hmm. She was just relentless. And I think he really liked her. She had a great personality. But he was not budging. And he would finally just toss her out at the end of one of her preaching sessions. So I get out of my car one day in the front of the building. And she runs outside, grabs my sleeve. She said, I know you're old, but run. And I ran with her, and we ran up the staircase. I was still running, David. You would have been proud of me.
I am.
Got to his room, and he was actively dying. Labored breathing, eyes rolled back. It was his time.
Mm.
And she was kind of a strong, rough little 5-foot-nothing girl, and she opened up his eyeballs with her fingers. She said, are you in there? And he put his eyes on her and nodded his head. She said, remember what we talked about? And apparently they had one last conversation, and he nodded his head, and we walked him through the sinner's prayer and baptized him just before he took his last breath. But interesting was his face. I'd known the guy for 2.5 years. People would run in terror when he come down the hall.
Yeah.
But his face relaxed, and he actually looked not only peaceful but younger.
Hmm.
All the grimaces and all the wrinkles relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
And he almost had a smile on his face. He went to the Lord.
Wow.
And I think the Lord in this situation, he knows everything, and he knew it was going to happen. But what came out of that, David, was interesting. We weren't alone. Mm. There were other nurses peeking through the door to see what was going on.
Yeah.
There was a roommate listening to everything going on.
Mm.
And you have to wonder when you walk out of there, I want to know the rest of the conversation between the nurses. I never really heard it.
Yeah.
But I do know that in a revival situation, when people are watching others come to Christ, there's a hunger. You know, they want that too, but they don't know how to say it. They don't know how to put it into words. You know, my life's mismanaged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm self-medicating. Whatever people are doing to try and find peace, and they can't.
They can't without Christ.
Without Christ. And then when they see someone accept Christ, particularly in that situation, oh, gee whiz, it must be important, you know? And did you see his face? Because, you know, the nurses have to prepare them after they die. And they were making all these comments. He looks 10 years younger. He's at peace.
And that was the peace that passes all understanding, as the scripture
tells us. Amen, brother.
I don't understand it, but you don't, because it's a spiritual gift from the Lord.
You don't have to wait till you're in a nursing home waiting for some well-meaning nurse to come and bring you to Christ. You can do it right now.
Yeah.
And I always wonder why we wait so long as humans to do this, David, because life is so much richer and deeper and more meaningful as a disciple of Christ.
You know,
and it's almost topical before that. You know, you have your good moments and your bad moments, and nothing really has value.
Well, you know, it's part of our, it's a mindset that we have, I think, before we meet Jesus, because, you know, let me put that off to the side, because something I'm going to forget if I don't say it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead,
but David. When we were saying, well, are you praying for revival, we have to remember that the story you just told is ground zero for revival. It is one soul at a time.
Amen.
Meeting Jesus for the first time, believing him to be who he said he was and who he is, the Son of God and the Savior of all humanity, and recognizing that in receiving Jesus, we are receiving the fullness of his promise to have an eternity with him in heaven. And so that revival is when a whole people group, in which case we're talking about America, but we're really looking past America to the rest of the world, where there is revival going on. I'm no doubt about that. But it's one soul at a time hearing the gospel. So when we pray for revival, we are praying for people we have never met, mostly.
Ah.
And we're praying for circumstances that they haven't actually gotten into yet, that's going to, the Holy Spirit is going to draw them by the ways only the Holy Spirit has. Again, no one's going to be forced to believe, but they're going to be lovingly, and I use that word underscore lovingly, lovingly drawn to the truth of Christ Jesus.
Got a story about that.
I'll bet you do.
Our same employee, my little 5 foot nothing evangelist there, lives in Riviera Beach, rough area. She'll always live there. She loves her town. And she heard automatic weapons going off outside her window, so she prayed about it. The Lord said, get your preaching stool. She has a preaching stool, David. So she can be seen. She's short.
Not, right. She's not very big.
And her Bible, and she walked down to the main street of Sapodilla or something down there. And it was 2 a.m. with a gang war going on. And she stood up and began to read her Bible out loud. And a couple of the young men went by. They knew her. You know, and they said, ma'am, you're going to get shot. She said, Lord didn't send me here to get shot. Send me here to bring you all back to Christ. You're doing the evil right now, and you need to come back to Christ. And she preached for an hour and a half in the dark. Finally, one guy comes over, and she recognized him. He had been in her Sunday school when he was a little boy.
Oh, my.
He laid down his weapon and got on his knees and began to cry. These are tough 17, 18-year-old scary people, and they, one by one, so by the time sunrise came about, she had maybe 8 or 9 shooters from different gangs around her preaching stool. And she was putting her hands on their head and blessing them and praying with them. And I don't know what the outcome was. All I know is that she blessed them all, said she would continue to pray for them, picked up her preaching stool and went home. And it's an amazing story, because here's revival going on in the middle of a battle in the streets in the hood. And my friends, it's never going to be. Sometimes revival happens in a nice, pretty, peaceful area and a nice air-conditioned church. And, you know, maybe you're out in the park and it's a beautiful day and you bring people to Christ. That's wonderful. But there's also the other side of all that, where you got to have the nerve, the courage, and the conviction to get up in the worst situations and bring people, draw them in to Christ.
You know, speak about we often think of the traditional environments of revival. And
the white tent?
Well, the white tent or the church, you know, where they have the 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that those aren't viable and venues. They really are. But what we're seeing in this current revival, it started at Asbury College in February, and it mimics other revivals, including the most recent, you know, back in the 70s with the Jesus Revolution, they call
it. Right, right.
That these aren't planned. These are God coming to where people are gathered and releasing his spirit to bring about revival. It is totally controlled by God. It is, yeah, I mean, you can say once the spirit gets moving, and it was at the chapel at Asbury and so many other college chapels, we've seen it. But it's not limited to that. But the dynamic is, you know, they weren't necessarily planning on revival. They had come together for morning worship, right?
Right.
Something, I came out of a sense of duty. I wanted to pray before class because I got a test or whatever. And suddenly the Spirit moves. These people are not going to class, right? They didn't plan on this happening. Mm-hmm. But this is God. This is truly God. And so one of the hallmarks of the revival we're talking about is the Holy Spirit just being released into. Now, they're receptive, obviously. And some of them that are totally receptive start really moving in the Spirit. Spirit begins moving through them. The others come along, okay? But it draws everybody in. That's a unique dynamic of when we pray for revival like that and it's happening. That's total God.
Well, you think, David, the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
People walking by that upper room, they didn't know what was going on in there. Next thing you know, revival broke out in the streets.
The disciples, all 120 of them, are coming out. The apostles leading them. They're starting to preach. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, according to, you know, Paul.
Right.
When they said, well, these people are drunk. Well, no, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But no, we are here, and they found out why they were there. And what do we hear? Now, that Jerusalem was full of people from all over the Jewish world.
Sure.
Including some from the Roman world. And they spoke different languages, but the gospel to be heard was so important that people were hearing in their own language what these Galilean preachers were offering in their language. And God, that's the church was born that day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so beautiful because no one was left out, David.
No one was left out.
No one was left behind.
No one was left. No, we're laughing because I did something that Barry can't talk about. And I was giving him the time. We have
the
like
signal.
1 minute.
Yes.
We're giving him the 1 minute warning. You know, we could just, if we had a 2-hour show.
Oh, man, could we talk about stuff?
We could talk about stuff, but we still end up looking at, we got 1 minute, and oh, there's
it
more we
by,
want to talk
it,
about.
It goes by so quickly. It really does.
Fortunately, as long as we're alive, we'll be able to do this.
There you go.
You know, so, yeah. And, you know, another cool thing is just to remind you folks, we're not asking for money.
Nope.
We've never asked for money. We're not asking. God is providing the resources for this program.
That's right.
And so I just want you to know, another good reason to listen.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to run out of the room while we do a commercial, right? So I got to get another glass of milk and a cookie because they're talking about money. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, and we're not sure what we're going to talk about, but God will give us something.
Amen, brothers. Good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
The Lord has prepared, but by His Spirit He has revealed His plan to those who love Him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord by His Spirit He has revealed His plan to those who love Him. We've been held by His everlasting love, and with loving kindness by His hand have hope for the future yet to come.